This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Everything was neat. All the chairs were tucked in. It was fine. I didn't have to move anything, and I just walked through and came back. And then just now, I got up and walked around, did the same loop, and there were like 10 chairs as askew in there as I've ever seen. I don't understand. Like, what happened to those chairs?
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know. What would make the most sense?
And the Bulldog.
I am shook by this. Honest to God, I do not understand what just happened.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Did you go down there during a break and move the chairs?
I've been doing it every day.
It was me all along!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We've got that Leafs-Panthers stuff to, we could debate that. And the Sabres, right?
Sure. Yeah. Debate.
Debate.
We're going to debate the Sabres.
Yeah. Well, you have Paul coming on later.
Yeah. I think you should be able to just suspend someone for that. You're just highly suspicious of them being a dirtbag. Because that's really where we end up with Bennett.
Slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. And with that, you would surely make some mistakes. And look, I can't tell you for sure that he's not, you know, I know watching the footage, he's not like nodding and winking at you while he's talking about how friendly he is with this guy. And I texted him and he responded. And of course, I'm not trying to hurt him. We won a cup together last year. I don't know if he actually said that, but that's what happened factually. I think all of that can be true. And while the game is going on, you're there and just, yeah, you know, I got an opportunity here. I was going to take it. We're friends. Whatever. We're playing in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. This guy's been fantastic for this team. I'm just going to go ahead and elbow him in the head like I did to Marchand last year or 2 years ago, or like I did to Matthew Knies 2 years ago. Like, I'm just going to do this thing that I'm somewhat now notorious for doing.
He has rewritten his reputation from the guy who couldn't do one chin-up at the combine
right
in Buffalo.
Right. So, look, I appreciate what he is as a player and the value of having a guy that will go to that line and then across that line, ideally in this situation, and actually not get punished. There is value in any sport, particularly hockey, of having a guy that can play that way, especially if they can get away with it. I just feel like at some point you have to look at them and go, yeah, dude, this is enough. So I'm not retroactively suspending you for these other hits, but kind of that's what's happening here. But
that's not what's actually happening.
No, though. That is not actually happening, but if the league chose that course, I don't know, it would probably be very hard to defend. Otherwise, maybe they would go there, but I have no question the guy did it on purpose. I believe that they could be friends.
I think
you could hit your friend like that, especially I've hit my friends like that playing pickup sports.
Yeah, you don't expect them to be violently ill from it. Like, you're not really playing that out in your head, right? I mean, far be it for me to know, but I think in the course of a playoff game, especially in the NHL, you see lots of liberties taken, and it's not about whether somebody's going to get hurt. It's about, you know, getting an edge. What is all the stuff in front of the net after every, you know, whistle about? Do you think you're going to get an edge from it? You think, you know, if I'm that much tougher this time, there's that much greater chance that the guy's not coming back in here next time. Like, that's the only logic of it.
Or at least not as fast and ready as the prior time. Yeah, that's it.
I might be able to sneak this little shot in and improve our chances of scoring on this play. Just, you know, you didn't see it. And I don't think it ever really necessarily goes past that. It's just to get an edge on a play in a game, in a series, and injuries happen. I guess it's good for you if it ends up there, but not in a personal sense.
Yeah. You know, I think there's also the I don't know, dilemma. I mean, who knows what's really going on here? Like, I mean, I know he threw up. That's irrefutably true. I mean, he went to the bench and threw up. Now, that was minutes after that collision. And he also, Stolarz, this is the Toronto goalie, got hit in a, you know, the buckle on the strap of his helmet broke loose in the first period on a high shot by Sam Reinhart, I believe. And so that's the kind of thing that could, maybe he just plowed through that. He wasn't spotted by the concussion protocol people to be pulled out of the game at that point. Also was not pulled from the game after this collision. Again, eventually there's a TV timeout. He got tended to by trainers, but stayed in the game. And then a few minutes later, he's at the bench throwing up and it's time for the backup goalie. Like, that's it. So all of that could have all the shot in the first period right through this thing. Because, you know, a part of this, too, is it doesn't look like the most concussion-inducing blow you've ever seen. It's a pretty subtle shot. It's hard to discern really how hard it even is. But
the ones that look, you never know, like you're saying, but the ones that look the most dangerous are when a player hits his head on the ice. Not, you know, gets bumped in the head, but we all have tons of examples of how there's just not a necessary correlation between the severity of what the play looks like and the extent of the injury. I was thinking, I mean, almost definitely he probably was on some level dealing with an important head injury on the slap shot, on the shot earlier in the game. And then this happens and it compounds. You know, I think it might be safe to make some assumptions here. What's depressing to me is all these years, you know, whenever it started, we know Tim Connelly happened in 2006. So that's 19 years ago. So as long ago as 2006, there was some modicum of seriousness about head injuries and, you know, the player and the team or the league together end up making some decision sometimes. And I'm sure countless times players have played through it, like used to always happen. What's sad about it to me is all these years into whatever level of seriousness there is about head injuries, it's still easily available to the team. I mean, the player is going to be the player usually. This is my career. It's short. This is for a cup. This is legacy stuff. It's for big money. I'm 25. I'm not sitting down. If I sit down, my teammates don't respect me. I mean, all the reasons why a player would just be like, you kind of feel okay. You just sort of play through it. But the team is the one with the supposed obligation to protect the player. And I think very often they just will not. And if somebody on the Leafs, I mean, how many people are watching this game involved with the Leafs or the NHL? How many people would have seen him shake his head after he had his mask off on the shot and known that that's a bad sign and let him play? And then the collision, and it's already happened in the game before, and now you have this, and you let him stay in, and it doesn't change until he goes to the bench and literally throws up on the bench. I mean, that's just not how it's supposed to work.
Right.
And so you can't really know. The league and the teams can hide behind that. Not that they always would be doing that, but they can. And, you know, you can't know what's a concussion. It's not even called a concussion in sports. It's called concussion protocol. The NFL won't call it a concussion. that you don't hear Sean McDermott say so-and-so has a concussion. He says he's in the concussion protocol, right, which means there is room for suspicion. Like, maybe he has one, but maybe he doesn't. And really what we're doing is, you know, playing it safe. I mean, you saw with Josh Allen going in the tent, coming right out. You're not going to stop him. Or if you maybe you could, but you won't.
Right.
There's too much at stake.
Right. You're talking about a playoff game here, and like, I don't know what the score is. I don't remember what the score is when he gets hit in the head the first time with the shot in the first period. You know, I know it's 4-1 when he eventually leaves the game, and then there's the furious rally and good job Toronto by, you know, sort of steadying there and getting that thing home for them, because I think previous incarnations of that team with that group, you might have been pretty scared going into the final few minutes there, but they managed to get it home. But still, you're pulling the starting goalie, the guy that's getting a lot of credit for like sort of stabilizing a position of weakness through the many years here of this core four's existence with the Leafs. They're always a contender, and they're almost always, one exception, losing in the first round, second exception now. So here we are. It's game one, defending champs. Oh yeah, we're gonna pull this guy out. Like, that's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to do in any building, but it's in Toronto. So yeah, the system isn't by any means foolproof, and you're hearing it today. The I don't know, like, stretcher hospitalized. Is Toronto trying to like play into the drama at all here? I hate to even raise that as a suspicion, but I'm sorry, it's hockey. Like, there's more misinformation than there is information about this stuff, and maybe they're hoping the worse it sounds, the more, you know, maybe the league would consider punishment on Bennett. They don't. Stolarz is out of the hospital, and they're not even ruling him out for tomorrow. Okay, like, if he was concussed last night, there's no way he should be playing a hockey game tomorrow. But
maybe he won't, but they don't have to rule him out today.
Right.
Because then you can play the game, the upper body, lower body game, and we don't know yet. We might know, but we're not going to tell you. But in this case, it looks more egregious because of what we watched last night. You know, it looks more egregious to not rule him out. If he had a torn ACL, you could also say, we're not ruling him out. Guys have played in the playoffs with,
that's
with that.
Right. That's,
you know?
Right.
So it feels like too soft of a word, but that's what's so unfortunate about it. Because, like, I say the stakes are too high in my commentary about, like, whether Josh Allen goes back into a Bills game. Are they that high compared to the effects of the concussion over the years? You know, what's higher?
Yeah,
whether you win the game? Or
I would have no question at all. Like, look, any guy would want Connor Hellebuck's, you know, is an interesting one to pick here with how many times he got yanked in that series, but they finally got past it and are on to round two now. But like, he's one of the best, you know, no one argues. He's playoffs, yes, he's got something to prove. He's one of the best goalies in the league year over year. He's got the big contract, he's got everything. That guy would want to stay in. Stolarz, like, this is his opportunity to finally get somewhere really substantive in his career. He's been just sort of bounced around, back up with promise. That's been basically his resume. And then this year began, he looked like he had, and then he got hurt. And the door cracked back open. But for him, fortunately, the other sort of young guy that replaced him last night, Wall, has also been injury prone. A lot of promise, but can't stay there. So the door back, you know, opened back up. Stolarz is back in. Like, a good playoff here. His next contract, his career, he's like set. He's made it. That's what he's playing for the Leafs. He's playing to end a long Stanley Cup championship drought, all the things that anyone that roots for Toronto are interested in. But selfishly, individually, Anthony Stolarz is playing to like establish he's a $5 million or $6 million a year goalie, which would be, you know, the equivalent of winning the lottery in life. Like, you've strived this long, you better believe he's not going to want to come out of a game. Like, I matter here. This is the opportunity I've been waiting for since I was 17 years old. So that's why you need independent people to pull guys out of games like that, because they're not going to do it themselves.
No.
Or frequently they won't. I mean, I you know, I shouldn't say so definitively, but
it's still not really acceptable culturally.
Right.
By culturally, I don't mean like society, but just like within a team, you know, from the fans. You know, think about Connolly. I mean, you can feel sympathy to him, but I think he's also somebody, like, he didn't really get a fair shake from the fans. It was he wasn't really popular, you know. And am I mixing up my chronology? Because am I thinking of before 2006 when he caught fire and he looked like the best player in hockey for a couple of weeks and then went down? I don't know. Wouldn't you? What percentage of fans would have held against him? He didn't play like almost the entire next season.
Yeah.
And no doubt there were serious effects he was dealing with, you know, maybe psychologically as well as just physically. But I think it's just the kind of thing that not everybody, I know it's the kind of thing that not everybody has much has respect for. Like, get out there. I think even on the youth level, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in that world now, and you were. And that was a long time ago for you, but still, like, you were in that world once, years, many, many years ago. And yes, and so you do see.
Sorry, I didn't take the bait.
You do see many, many years ago. You do see, I think.
Yeah,
coach. Look, even youth coaches work for somebody, and in a lot of these, it's pretty serious. A lot of people know this, have experience with it. It's serious stuff. Parents pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
Programs are trying to win and grow and all of that. And a guy goes down with a head hit, you know, your first instinct may not be to keep him out if he's good, right? It's easier when he's just a backup.
It is a long time ago now, like you referenced.
So long. It's got to feel like a long time.
But and Owen, unfortunately, in playing, did suffer a few concussions. And never did I ever feel like the people handling the situation didn't respect it.
Good.
But I think that's not the same as opinions and different things that you would catch wind of, or even know that the, you know, players got told directly, like, you know, like, oh, I never missed this much time with something like that. Like that kind of stuff that you know, that happened a time or two, but there was never a question.
Good.
In my experience. So at least we had that going for us.
Do you hope Toronto wins?
Yes. Ultimately, yes, I do. I really like Florida a lot. I really want just a good series, and it looks like
good start.
It sure is. Yeah. I mean, with how furious that comeback was. And like I already said, Toronto, like, kind of gets buried in all the conversation about Bennett and the hit and intense and Stolarz's health and all that. They did a great job, you know, being able to get that game home considering the adversity. I'm sure they had the lead, but they never gave it up. You know, they were right there when it got tight to extend it again, and then it got tight again, and they hung on.
They got the goal, really.
Right.
Like, it was a mix-up on Florida, and the guy buried the chance. So, good thing.
Yeah.
Just that the whole momentum thing was not in their pocket.
But, yeah, I feel like that, you know, it's usually either way is great, because when the Leafs blow it, it's sort of entertaining to watch everyone, you know, lose their minds about it. But that's getting old, and I respect what they've done this year. I didn't think it was going to work, but the defensive play overall has improved so much, and guys, I never thought Oliver Ekman-Larsson was going to be a good idea, but he has been a rock for them. Tanev's always excellent, but I always worry he's going to get hurt. He's going to be playing on one leg or something by the time the playoffs get here, but that has not happened. So they're getting paid off on two big ads on the back end back there. And I've said this before, I think, but maybe only in passing. Knies is like the thing that they have not had. Like, that is 6'3", 230. I mean, just a bull.
And with finish.
Great, great skill to go with it. That is a really, really nice piece.
I usually root against teams that are on long droughts because I like the continuation of the story. When the Red Sox were about to win, other than friends who liked the Red Sox, I wanted them to lose because if they win, that's it. What do I do with my 7 Curse of the Bambino shirts? What do I do with them? What about this curse? Oh, it was lifted. What do I do with my Cubs goat shirts?
What do I do with the shirt that says Red Sox magic number 1918?
Yes.
Magic Which number, I had infinity, for a while.
Infinity.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it when those stories continue. But this one, I mean, I was a huge Leafs fan for many years growing up until into my 20s. And I have family there. I hope Florida, you had your chance. You had your win last year. Toronto-Edmonton would be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that remote a possibility. The last three nights, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the last three nights, from this game back to the Winnipeg win on Sunday to Dallas-Colorado, I mean, those two seventh games from two goals down
just
in the third.
Tremendous.
Late.
Right.
I have a friend who has a big parlay, one of yours, like you have the mm-hmm. different championships. And he sent me a picture of the ticket. I'll show you the ticket because it's good numbers. He asked me on Dallas-Colorado was Saturday.
Yep.
He asked me on Saturday what he would do about a hedge because he had a bunch of wins already over 5.5 on that hockey game. And then the winner, the outcome of the Washington-Carolina game tonight. And, you know, I told him I would, because it was so much money on the mm-hmm. line, I told him I would hedge and bet the under on Dallas-Colorado. 5.5. It was 2-0.
Yeah.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
With how much
12,
time left?
12, 14 or something to go in the third period.
And it was 3-2 with 4 seconds left. And it ended 4-2.
Yeah.
That's running nice. I apologize to him for the idea to bet the under.
Right.
Even though I was probably right. Well, you can't. You can't say you're right.
Really, you can't really say you were probably right. You were wrong. You were close to being right.
I was close.
Very close to being right.
Just like, you know, Colorado was. Colorado didn't win.
The drama. The drama there. I mean, I'm not going to like exaggerate this to like the, you know, people on the streets were talking about it or anything. But I was, you know, I was in Denver, the Denver area here for the last few days here, Friday through yesterday afternoon, and I just cannot believe the torture. For like all the fans there, some probably were still shook about Rantanen being traded to begin with. And then to have it just go the way it's gone with him winding up in Dallas and then to have that 8 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever it was. Oh, my gosh. That was incredible. Like that is that, you know, we're upset about guys that leave here and win. And yeah, but like. Imagine if the Sabres trade away Eichel and then he does that to you in the playoffs.
You trade Eichel to Vegas, and one reason why you pick Vegas is because you're not going to have to play him. And then before the next deadline, Vegas trades him to Toronto, right. And Toronto beats you. That's what happened.
And he's the key guy.
Right.
Like he does it all.
They traded him to Carolina, right? The Avs.
Yes, they did.
They traded him to Carolina. You know.
See you later.
Don't want to make a trade in our division or conference, whatever like right. That thinking is. And they Carolina trades him right to Dallas.
Right.
Tough one.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That wasn't supposed to happen.
That is a brutal
we were playing
outcome.
You in the first round.
Yep. Well, I'm all I've got going is Dallas. So I'm grateful they found a way to win game seven they did on Saturday night. I couldn't sit with it. I was at a concert, but yeah.
We're all big Dallas fans.
That's all I've got is Dallas. And Oklahoma City, too. And that was tough last night.
Winnipeg could win, too. I mean, Toronto, Edmonton,
yeah.
You could still get Winnipeg now. Three of the last eight teams. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll get back to some football talk as we continue here on WGR.
My whole career, I haven't really had too many great opportunities with a stable quarterback the entire season. I've been playing with so many guys. It's what it feels like, five quarterbacks every single season. You know, so I just feel like being blessed with the opportunity to, God willing, have 17 for the entire season. The MVP at that, a top-tier caliber player, top-tier caliber team, top-tier caliber coaches. Putting you in position, I feel like it would just be the best position that I've been put in yet.
That is Elijah Moore, who has caught touchdown passes. Not that he has that many, frankly, but he has caught touchdown passes from six quarterbacks in his career.
Alrighty, Zach Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm done. Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Jameis Winston.
Yes.
I'm struggling here, clearly.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, sure.
There was a touchdown pass. From Deshaun Watson to Elijah Moore.
I'm not be too hard on myself for not assuming that. Just because, you know, he's hardly played there, Watson, right?
One was the Baltimore Ravens backup last year, who was not Tyler Huntley. He might have been in Miami. I think he was in Miami last year,
yeah.
Tyler Huntley. He's been on 14 teams, I believe.
Josh Dobbs?
Josh Johnson. And the last one to catch to throw a touchdown pass to Elijah Moore is a former Bill, if not a current one. We got you on this guy another time.
Brandon Allen.
No. Because he wears number 14. He's the last quarterback to play for the Bills in the regular season. I think. He took their most recent regular season snap. I think. This guy, you really have a blind spot for this guy, because you're usually nails with these.
Right. I don't know. Shane Bouchel?
Shane Bouchel is incorrect.
It's not Trubisky. Who played that game? I'm not going to look. I refuse to look.
I respect that. I mean, I respect refusing to look.
I don't know. And this is not the first time that I've been stumped on this player.
The last Bills regular season snap was this player throwing incomplete to Keon Coleman in New England with 1:31 left and the Bills down seven.
I watched that game. I was here for that game.
He went 0 for 4 on the drive. All passes to Keon Coleman.
I came in because of the playoff stuff. The Sundays were still the only day I was working from home, but I came in. So we didn't want me to be lagging behind with the stream. We wanted to be on the same page.
For the Denver game.
For the playoff, you know, matchup potential.
And you came all this way
to watch that game,
and yet you don't remember how it ended.
And I think I brought food.
Okay. That's why I don't remember.
That's a brag I didn't really need to make.
I'm sure Keon Coleman was open on all four of these passes, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. That wasn't really nice.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because it could have been open, but Mike White
could not get him Mike the ball. White. All right.
You just can't seem to remember the name Mike White.
No, I can't. Or that he's on the Bills and was on the Bills even last year and threw passes.
January.
Threw passes to people, yes.
2025. I got to cook up a good Bills trivia game for you.
Oh, sure, because clearly I'm ready.
It could take a whole day.
Is this training camp here that I'm with White?
This is Elijah Moore trivia.
I didn't remember that Mike White is on the team. Okay, there. Maybe now.
No. Because we were talking about the number 14 another time, and who was the last Bills player to wear 14, and it was Mike White. And you didn't have that then.
No,
either.
I definitely
You can't
didn't
seem
have that.
To remember.
No.
I would tell you who the guy is, a guy is that I can't remember, but I don't know because I don't remember him.
Yeah.
So I can't help you with that. I'm sure there are many, but I don't know who they are. Elijah Moore, Bulldog, it's going to be annoying, but. Aren't we going to, if we want it, have the same sort of debates about how to rank the receivers again this year?
Yes.
Couldn't Elijah Moore be number 2, if not number 1? And couldn't he also be number 6?
I don't know that I want to hear the case for he could be number 1. I don't even know about 2. The best I could do there is Coleman's so young. But to me, Shakir is whatever position you're playing, and maybe it's not ideal, although I don't know, the Lions seem to make it work with your number one receiver being a slot guy primarily. But Shakir is, to me, that's entrenched. And it's not just because they paid him. If we were a year behind in the timeline, I'd still be, it'd be harder to sell you on the idea of him being their leading receiver. But I think that's where we are. That happened last year. He's been paid now, and he's just gonna be the number one guy. 2, I guess I could get, and then all the way through, like you said. So 2 through 6, maybe. I can't hear an argument that he could be number one.
Okay,
on this team,
I'm not really prepared to make it. Shakir is pretty locked in. It's just the only reason I'm. Maybe you think that I dog him. I don't mean to. I mean, I respect him. The only reason I would, you know, be open to somebody else being their most productive receiver this year is because I think his ceiling is capped. I just don't think there's enough, you know, big play potential. He does yards after the catch happen from Shakir. Like, I'm not blind to that either.
Yeah.
But I just think there's only so much there.
Well, I wonder how much we should be considering positional flexibility. Maybe now, if Moore is someone who is going to perform at least well enough to make the team, let's start there, right? Because if he's not, you know, some just, you know, training camp cut, then this exercise is futile, all right? So he's going to make your team, right? He's one of the 6 guys. And if that comes to pass and he's along with Shakir and Samuel, someone that is getting a uniform, so he's dressed. Do you start then? And I'm sort of connecting dots, going all the way back to Shakir's, his first off season here after the draft. Well, he can really do it all. Any place you want to put him, he can play. And like, absolutely, he is thriving as the Bills' slot receiver. But formationally, I saw Trapasso tweeting about this before I left town last weekend. Especially maybe the way the Bills use their guys, it's not crazy to think that Moore and Shakir could be a little more interchangeable, or Samuel and Shakir, all 3 of them even, could get their turns, and if, you know, they can be counted on. So maybe Shakir can find his way to making some plays outside, and that will help unlock other things in this offense. And if more is a reason for that, maybe he benefits from that too. So I'm just trying to find a way to make all these guys work.
Yeah.
I guess.
You and they.
And maybe having more flexibility in where guys are going to be utilized and deployed is one thing to look for this year.
Well, you'd want to see that, because for as successful as they were, the advantage of having everybody back. Did you think I was going to say eats right there? The advantage of having everybody back should afford you that. You know, that's one of the, maybe the number one benefit of continuity, is you have the whole 8-9 months in the lab. And Joe Brady and Sean McDermott, if you need McDermott for this, should know all his guys' strengths and weaknesses right now. So wouldn't you spend some time every day trying to figure out new ideas? I mean, that's, I think, what I would do. I think I can do that from a relaxed setting as well.
Unlike the high leverage tension situation that Joe Brady finds himself in on May 7th.
No, it'd be May 6th. I think if I were he, I might be able to put some thought into this from a beach or a tropical locale. You see a guy at a pool with all kinds of, like, a laptop and just piles of papers and maybe a pocket square.
I wonder how much a guy like Elijah Moore is maybe a good thought exercise for this idea. What level of signing gets a guy like Joe Brady to doing that work, whether they're on vacation or just, you know, at the office here? Do you find out, oh, we're signing Elijah Moore? I'll fit him in somewhere, and, you know, it doesn't really change anything. Or is it like, I can do this and this and move this guy like that? And like, is it, what level of player do you need to sign to get the OC into the lab to that extent?
Well,
where he's trying to unlock new combinations.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. This is a different question, but do you call him to ask him about the player before you sign him? Does Joe Brady get a voice in, hey, I need you today to spend a couple hours on Elijah Moore?
Look at his skill set.
What do you see?
Wait, right.
You know, and you've got scouts who will do that, and Bean himself will do that. But would you want Brady to also do that? What can you do with this guy? I think so.
Yes. I want to say I definitely want that to be the case, and I guess I would also with that say I'd be surprised if it's not.
Offensive coordinator would be a pretty cool job to have of all football jobs. Plus, if you're somebody that doesn't really want to be the team spokesperson, he does, during the season, he does once a week.
Once a week, yeah.
But it's not like McDermott. What would be the best job to have at the Bills? GM, for me, would be the one. As, of course, I'm saying that I'm certainly qualified.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm saying now?
I think offensive coordinator is a cool job, and you would obviously like to have the best player at the most important position in the sport, but that almost makes it impossible for you to be viewed as a reason why you're having success. So I think in a certain way, that's a tough job to have.
I think that makes sense, but you still get the credit. Like Daboll still got, yep, although Allen wasn't all perfect before Daboll.
Right. It gets harder as we go. Like Daboll gets ground floor, look at the house now. Right. To an extent, he gets a lot of the credit for that. And we don't know from out here how disproportionate, if at all, that is. But that's how it goes. The other guys are just sort of minding the store.
Bienemy?
I think, you know, at this point. Yeah. And I think the least popular guy in town often is going to be the guy that calls the plays. If your quarterback is so, like, at the level that Allen is at, where nobody really wants to blame him for anything or look too hard for reasons why, like, he cost you. He made the mistake. He did this. He threw to the wrong spot. He changed the call, all that sort of stuff. That all rolls down to the coordinator's door. And I think that's usually disproportionate to some extent too. And for that reason, I would say that offense coordinator is not my favorite job
there. But what are the odds Joe Brady's next job is an NFL head coach?
Still,
very strong.
Still very good. Right.
That will be his next job, right? I guess, to your point, the flip side of it is if this blows up.
Right.
then maybe it wouldn't be.
If this
maybe be a quarterback's coach next.
If somehow they don't get the takeaways they got last year and the defense doesn't stabilize like everyone's sort of hoping that the draft will help it do, and you know, you just do not produce like you did. Yeah, no, he's the first guy out the door. If it doesn't go well. I think.
Man, the first thing, if I were he, that I would want to tell somebody, you know, who's considering me for a job is 30 points a game, Mac Hollins, 5 touchdown catches,
right,
was the most.
Right.
Next question. But the quarterback, I know. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll ask Bulldog the Blues question as we continue here. Lines are open until 6 when Paul Hamilton joins us to talk some hockey. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back. If you missed our guest, Matt Verderam from earlier today, check it out on the Odyssey app. Tomorrow, Sal will join us. Thursday, possibly Josh Byrne working on that.
All right.
With the Bandits back in the finals. I think I saw...
It's finals, by the way?
Not final. Probably, I don't know.
Just being a little jerky.
I don't know for sure, but it's the last round.
We're not to that. We're not to that round. Conversation yet. Anyway, that's when final starts happening in June. You know, the
hockey
and basketball. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to sideswipe you there on Josh Byrne, but that's awesome.
Not set yet, but hoping for him. Is there someone else?
Greg Wyshynski.
Yeah, that's what. Who?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I forgot. Friday, Sam Panayotovich. Sam will be happy because the Rockies will not win today, postponed by weather. They're 6-28. How about that call? Like, it wasn't that the Rockies were ever going to be really good. That never happens.
Right.
But they could have been just like there, like the A's are. Or the A's are actually good. The A's are four games over. Bad example.
Wow.
The Marlins. The Pirates, you know, teams that are terrible but also way ahead of the Rockies in the standings.
Right.
You lost your first baseman for the year.
I guess that's right.
Casas?
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Knee injury?
Yeah. Yours doing a pretty lot of lifting there, I think. I needed you to say his name. I don't know if you can tell that. I mean, oh, yeah, Casas. Really tough. Tristan Casas.
Tristan Casas.
Yeah, at least I knew his first name.
I've been enjoying baseball this year.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I set out this year to watch, I'm not keeping track, but I set out this year to watch one home broadcast from every team, and I don't have access to them all. I get the Guardians, I get the Yankees,
yeah.
Maybe the Pirates.
Pirates
too.
Now and then, yeah, right.
Not the Mets? Do we not get SNY?
We always had, but I haven't looked this year on Fubo you're talking about. I'm not sure because Yes came in last year, and I don't know that didn't displace SNY.
I saw I looked for the Mets last night in Arizona and couldn't find them.
Hmm. I have not looked yet this year, but they have been a staple of the Fubo coverage.
I did watch the end of the Yankees game, which was really great. The Padres got four in the eighth. Downpour. The game was like largely played in a downpour last night, so it's sort of a weird scene there. No fans, really. And the Padres don't really seem to belong in Yankee Stadium. Somehow the Padres got an invite and then went and won the game. So,
I think this is correct. I think SNY is gone from the Fubo land because I don't see it anywhere, any baseball games coming up. And obviously there'd be one within the next few days that's carried on that network. So, yeah.
Are we watching the most incredible soccer game ever?
This seems pretty good. Yes, you did. You the audience noticed you like in the middle there of a commentary. Like you paused at a weird time. You looked up and there was a guy doing like a flying karate kick celebration with no shirt on because you had just missed the goal that tied the match in like the 90th minute.
It's Champions League, so it's the semifinals. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I call it the semifinals. And it's the second leg, Barcelona and Inter Milan. The first leg was 3-3. And this game in, you know, injury time, second half, is also now 3-3. 6-6 in the aggregate.
Yeah, Milan just tied it, really, as the clock ticked into the 90th minute.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to settle this.
Yeah, well, there's still a few minutes here of added injury time, and then they're going to have to just go like 15-15 penalties if it gets
I think maybe. I do have a game I can name for the most incredible soccer game I think I've ever seen. It was that Barcelona with Messi comeback in this tournament, I think maybe against PSG or Bayern. And they were down like 5-1 or something. Remember this a few years ago?
I feel like we were watching it in here.
We watched it in here, and I went home, and I watched the replay. Like, watch this game. I'm telling you right now, that team wins. You don't expect a 5-goal comeback.
No, in soccer?
In soccer. But that was at least about what happened in that game. All right, we'll get back to the Bills and some Sabres talk as we continue as we near 5 o'clock. 803-0550 if you want to get in, what you want from the schedule, what you got or didn't, you know, want about the draft, all of that still on the table. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at WGR.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.